You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
In the time of climate crisis, disasters of biblical scale are impacting our communities and the places we love. Today, just like in the Bible, floods and famines show us a deep truth about human life. And that deep truth is that our lives are intimately dependent on the land. In our sacred scriptures, we read the stories of the creatures that are made from the soil, whose lives are sustained physically and spiritually by the fruits of the land. And it's in these stories we see how, in the midst of disaster, that the land can be fertile ground to sustain ourselves and to teach us how to take prophetic action for justice.
Our words of wisdom are from Genesis chapter 41, verses 14 through 36. Then Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was hurriedly brought out of the dungeon. When he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph,
I had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it.
Joseph answered Pharaoh,
it is not I. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer.
Then Pharaoh said to Joseph,
in my dream, I was standing on the banks of the Nile, and seven cows, fat and sleek, came up out of the Nile and fed in the reed grass. Then seven other cows came up after them, poor, very ugly and thin. Never had I seen such ugly ones in all the land of Egypt. The thin and ugly cows ate up the first seven fat cows. But when they had eaten them, no one would have known that they had done so, for they were still as ugly as before. Then I awoke. I fell asleep a second time, and I saw in my dream seven ears of grain, full and good, growing on one stalk, and seven ears, withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprouting after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the seven good ears. But when I told it to the magicians, there was no one who could explain it to me.
Then Joseph said to Pharaoh,
Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, as are the seven empty ears blighted by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is as I told Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. After them, there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land. The plenty will no longer be known in the land because of the famine that will follow, for it will be very grievous. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a man who is discerning and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plenteous years. Let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and lay up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to befall the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
In the oldest creation story in our sacred scripture, God bends down into the freshly created soil, picks up a handful, and breathes the breath of life into it. God creates the first human. God then takes that human and places them in the garden to farm it and take care of it. While this verse is often translated as to till and to keep, it could mean far more than that. It means, as Ellen Davis has written in her book, Scripture, Culture, and Agriculture, to work and to serve the land, to preserve and observe the land. And it's from this story that we learn that we are made from the soil, that we are bound to it, and that we are obligated to care and to love it. It's good to remind us of these stories repeatedly because it tells us of our first and most foundational role here on this planet, and that's to farm and to take care of it. And that's not only for those who grow the food, but it means for us who also partake in that food. In today's scripture reading, there were three elements of Joseph's interpretations of Pharaoh's dream that hold special relevance as our world confronts dramatic challenges related to our climate crisis and our current food system. That first element of Joseph's interpretation is that Joseph spoke the hard truth to someone in power. He represented an idea that change can occur from the bottom up. Here he was a prisoner who dared to speak to Pharaoh, but not only that, he went as far as to outline a vision for an entire nation that otherwise would face the brink of destruction. We all have a voice and a say in this. That second element of Joseph's interpretation is for Pharaoh to prepare for both hard times with an eye for the common good, not only just the good times, because Joseph said the famine is coming and the answer is not everyone for themselves. Joseph actually gives voice to God's vision for providing for all of those in need. And the third element of Joseph's interpretation was for the Pharaoh to keep an eye out, to keep faith during times of plenty and during the times of famine. For Joseph foresaw radical changes in the conditions that the entire society would face. And amid the turmoil and the upheaval to come, there was a constant thing to remember: God and God's love for our well-being. I wonder, beloved community, how can we continue in the tradition of Joseph by maybe perhaps keeping a hold of our faith, that faith that sustains us even in the face of dire circumstances? We can do this with bold truth, with broad hearts, with courage, with an abiding faith. We can actually be the Joseph that our world needs today. Beloved community, so many of us tend to look to the Bible for our moral choices. And while I believe this is a good root system to have, a good place to start, I think it's also important to be informed about what that means for us here in real life, in real time, in 2023. And I struggle preaching on Earth Day, around Earth Day, because I don't want to sound too preachy. And part of me being too preachy is I feel that we, in order to make the Bible relevant for today, we need facts and history. We need science. We need truth. And so in the realm of being too preachy, here are some facts of what we have seen in our most recent year of 2022. We saw climate-induced events that jeopardize our food system. We witnessed record-breaking heat numerous times throughout the entire country. We saw an unprecedented cold winter in Texas, a historical drought in California, an unseasonal flood in Kentucky, and far too many wildfires to be normal in the western states. Such events are only to name a few of the catastrophes that the current changing climate has exacerbated. There are many more. But you might be wondering, how does that impact each of us individually? Well, I have a couple ideas about that. There are, along with the weather, there are these things, along with the ways in which we practice food production, like farming, how we waste food, that ultimately directly impact our food system just here in the United States, not even talking about the world at this point. The way that our climate is changing, we know, creates instability for food production. But we also know that our current industrialized food system contributes to the speed of which our climate is changing. It creates a cyclical threat to food security, especially for those on the margins. And remember that second Ellen Joseph's interpretation. It was an eye to the common good. It was everyone, not everyone for themselves, because Joseph was giving voice to of God saying, we need to protect those in good and bad times. Just here in America, this statistic totally surprised me when I did some research this week for the sermon. On average, 170 metric million metric tons of carbon dioxide are released into our atmosphere from over 100 billion pounds of food waste each year. And that's just here in the United States. And yet, there are 38 million people in our country that experience hunger. There are 38 million people here in the United States that experience hunger. Not only are our farming practices hurting the land, but it's hurting the people who work that land and those communities where the farms reside. These workers and these community members are subject to exploitation, often poor working conditions, experience disproportionate negative health outcomes, and we know have little to no access to healthcare. Farm workers are exposed to extreme heat that can cause negative consequences. They're exposed to an unsafe amount of pesticides, and oftentimes these go without the warning of all of the negative health effects. So how is it that we can continue in the tradition of Joseph? Perhaps some of us can be more politically active or engaged, and in that we can reach out to our political representatives. While others could support organizations like Bread for the World or the Arizona Food Bank Network or even our food bank here in Fountain Hills. While many of us can re-examine what we waste and make a concerted effort to move beyond our old ways of doing things, to embrace new practices and create new rituals that celebrate and protect all of God's creation, especially Mother Earth. As Christians and consumers, I believe we must learn how to advocate for a food system that is good for the planet and good for the people. Our food system should reflect our biblical call to care for our neighbors and the rest of God's creation by prioritizing what is best for the land. To care for it because that is the first command we are given. There are Christians every day that are doing work in order for this mission and this vision to become a reality. And while this is my last Sunday with you all and coming up on my last month working alongside you and advocating for that better treatment of all of God's creation, I'm going to call on you one last time. One last time, Fountains community, I want to ask you, what are you going to do to advocate for a better food system, from the planting to the consumption to the waste? How are you willing to sacrifice for the betterment of all of those who are going to come after us? As I shared earlier, our biblical stories, we learn that we are made from the soil. We are bound to it. We are obligated to love and to care for it. And in the scriptures today, Joseph taught us that how to do it, and that change can indeed occur from the bottom up, from one person. We know the famine is coming, and the answer will never be everyone for themselves. We can model Joseph by giving voice to God's vision of providing for all of those in need during all of these times. We know that we can keep the faith during the times of plenty and to keep the faith in the times of famine. Well, I know it is for us to remind ourselves of these stories because they do provide us that deep truth about human life, which is that we are all dependent on the land and we are all dependent on one another. So how can we continue in the tradition of Joseph? Can we do it by keeping hold of a faith that sustains us even in the face of the dire circumstances that lie ahead? Can we hold ourselves to those bold truths, those broad hearts, and that abiding faith? Can we be the Joseph needs? Or I should say, can we be the Joseph that our world needs today? Can we? I believe we can, community. I have seen it within each of you. But we have to continue. We can't give up. We can't say we used to do it in the past. We've done it before. We've done it this way. We can't do it. We have to be creative. We have to care for the land. We have to care for one another. I'm done preaching because I know that we can do this. We can be the Joseph in the world today. Amen. Amen. Thank you, blessed community.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.